saints be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 24, 12 and 13. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The very atmosphere is polluted with sin. Soon God's people will be tested by fiery trials and the great probation of the proportion of those who now appear to be genuine truth will prove to be base metal. Instead of being strengthened and confirmed by opposition, threats, and abuse, they will cowardly take the side of the opposers. The promise is, them that honor me, I will honor. Already the judgments of God are born in the land. As seen in storms and floods and tempests and earthquakes, and peril by landings and by sea, and by murder, crime, and so on and so on. The great I am is speaking to those who make void his law. When God's wrath is poured out upon the earth, who will then be able to stand? Now is the time for God's people to show themselves true to principle. When the religion of Christ is most held in contempt, when his law is most despised, then should our zeal be warmed from the current and firmness in the most unflinching. To stand in defense of truth and righteousness, when the majority of faith forsake us, to fight the battles of the Lord when champions are few, this will be our test. At this time, we must gather warmth from the coldness of others, courage from their cowardice, and loyalty from their treason. The captain of our salvation will strengthen his people for the conflict in which they must engage. Now is the time when we should closely connect with God, that we may be hid when the fierceness of his wrath is poured upon the sons of men. All who will gather warmth from the coldness of others, courage from their defection, and loyalty from their treason, will triumph with the third angel's message.
Let's pray. Our most gracious and holy Father, once again, we are most grateful and thankful that once again, Father, we are alive. Your angels have continued to do their work for your people, there, Father. But today, Father, there are some that are grieving among us because their family members have lost their lives due to sicknesses, illnesses, or whatever it may be, even to the tragedy of death. Father, so today we ask for your divine guidance, double upon your Holy Spirit, that you are present in the lives of your people as they listen to this program today, that let them know that whatever is said and done, or whatever is done in their lives, in the lives of their family members, you are in the midst. And you'll be the great comforter like you always were in the past, like you are today. At the end of the program, Father, once again, we hope that we lift you up in the sin curse. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministry. We want to welcome our listening audiences this afternoon and say a special welcome to those of you who may be listening to us for the first time. If you have any questions or comments concerning our program this afternoon or any of the programs that you've heard given by Turning Point, please feel free to give us a call at 322-6273. Or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Or you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org. Now remembering that on our website you will find articles written by Brother Paul, by Brother Renwick, and by Sister Marlene. You also find links to very interesting websites that we believe that would assist you in your study of the scriptures and your understanding of prophecy. This afternoon, we are going to continue our study on crime. Why do we have such a crime problem? How do we find a solution to this crime problem? And on that, Turning Point will be having another Turning Point Presents call-in show on July the 16th. That's July the 16th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And our topic again will be crime. How can we solve the crime problem? What is the cause of this crime problem? Tune in. Tell your friends and families that Turning Point will be presenting another Turning Point Presents at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. 2 hours of calling, no commercials. So tell your friends and families and let them know. Also, we have a mini poll that we will announce at that time on July 16th at our call-in show. That's Turning Point Presents. And the survey is, are you fearful of all the crime that is going on? So click onto our website and let us know how you vote in our little mini poll. The results will be announced at the end of our call-in show on July 16th. Now, as normal, Brother Paul will be giving us an update of those things that he's read in the papers that may be some spiritual significance or to assist us in understanding what is happening in terms of our program. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
Thank you, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. Once again, the newspaper from the past week has been filled with a lot of sad commentary. I mean, for the first time, I think, in the history of the Bahamas, I think it was in the Monday or the Tuesday paper, a list of our young men were listed there who the police wanted, who are there on their most wanted list for crimes and different violence they have committed. I mean, our young men, it was every time we need to pray for our young men, the time is definitely now unto us who have little boys under the age of 3 or 4 or 5. Now is the time ever before we need to start training them at a young age, because remember the Bible says, train of a child the way he should go. When many is old, he should not depart. On a side note, my cousin was caught in Freeport last week, and he was arraigned before the court on Thursday, him and his friend, for the murder of the young man that took place week before last Thursday. So right now he sits behind a prison cell in the Fox Hill prison. You have an opportunity to reflect, guilty or not. You know, that's one thing, but the reality, you know, whenever you can give an account for certain situations, the court of the then could put you before the court to see, you know, if they can clear you of these charges that they, you know, are brought against you in such a serious time. Then we had another sad story that ran in the paper on Friday under the headline in the Nassau Guardian. That's Friday, April 22nd, teen drug dealers active. Well, some young people in this area, as little children, ages 9 to 17, are involved in prostitution and drug use in the Camp Road area. So once again, we got to pray for this community, where the devil is attacking this community, like all other communities in the inner city, where our young people are being bombarded on every side at an early age. You know, when I was growing up as a child, I never knew that these things, at least I never was exposed to these things, thank God. You know, but here again, you know, the devil is on the loose. Like the Bible says, he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he is doing just that. So once again, our heart goes to the parents. And then on a very, very sad note, a girl by the age of 12 years old was sentenced to prison because it appears if she was being a little bit uncontrollable. But on the good news on that, I understand in the Guardian here again, the same paper Friday, June 22nd, I understand, based on the story printed in the Guardian, she has had an early release from prison, thank God. You know, but here again, this is what the country's been coming to. Then again, in the Guardian, it talks about gang warfare causing violence. But I believe that with all my heart, it really is gang violence. These young men are warring among themselves. And sad to say, they're killing each other. And they're going to an early grave. Then one of the biggest drug busts ever in the Bahamas netted $7 million. Can you believe that? $7 million stored in a warehouse. All kind of guns and ammunition and sorts of stuff. According to the last news report, they have a few men in custody questioning about this drug bust. Then, on Thursday night, I just returned from a rally they had for people who were trying to find out what the crime thing was all about. While we were at that rally, in the hours at that rally, a young man and a young lady lost their lives. And one of my neighbor's family members, the young lady that is, she lost her life and to gun violence once again. Both of them were shot, and they're now dead. And once again, our heart goes out to the family members and all other family members that are suffering during this time. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, was ever a time. We surely see the Bible prophecy being fulfilled. That time is definitely not. But sad to say, it's being fulfilled with human beings. So once again, let's pray for each other that the Lord will continue to let us in his encampment about us, that when he should come, at least be assured some will be alive. But let more of us be alive than that would be dead. But the way our things are heading is just like Jesus said, if you don't come and put an end to it, Matthew 24, no flesh should be saved here. So now the time has come for us to reflect. Are we ready to meet our Maker? Because be assured, once we close our eyes to the sting of death, whether it be by violence or by old age or by illness or sickness, whatever it may be, our case is decided. And when we wake up, we arise to either go to heaven or we arise to be lost forever. Think on these things.
Brother Paul, we listen to the statistics. We see the statistics and to some extent what you have read today. And we see that in these violence and altercations that happen, families are affected. What advice would you like to give to family members for those who have been slain or attacked or had some crime or perpetrated against them, and those who might have family members, like you say, your cousin? What should they be doing, or what advice would you be giving to them this afternoon, please?
Well, Brother Julian, you know, I myself, me and my family is a victim of crime. In 1999, my brother lost his life, Kendrick Miller. And to date, you know, no one has never been arrested for that incident. You know, but what I like to say to family members or friends, whoever listening today, is that the Bible has promised that God will not put more on us than what we can bear. He also says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Now, it's sort of hard for us to try to figure out, well, Lord, you know, I lost my brother, I lost my husband, I lost my father, I lost my mother. How can this work out to be good? Well, sometimes God does not reveal those things to us in our lifetime. But I assure you, when we get to heaven, he will show you the end result. He He would show you that because of our loved ones losing their lives at an early age or at an old age, God forbid, due to violence, that through that, other people's lives were saved. And through that, even our own lives maybe were saved based on that incident. So hang tight. Don't give hope. Remember that even Jesus himself lost a best friend when he was on earth. His name was Lazarus. And, you know, the Bible says Jesus wept because of that. And all of their family members were upset because they said if Jesus was there, Lazarus would not have died. But the same way Jesus went and he rose Lazarus from the dead on the fourth day, they said, but Lord, he already stinking. He's already been dead now for 4 days. Well, some of our family members have been sleeping now for a year, 10 years, maybe 5 years, maybe 50 years, maybe 100 years. Soon and very soon, the Lord will come and he will wake them out of their sleep. Let's pray that when they awake, they will wake up in the Lord. Because if they have not wake up in the Lord, then you know what the end result will be on that side. And if you and I remain faithful, even unto death, or until the trumpet should sound, we will be reunited with our family once again. The good news is there'll be no more violence, no more crime, no more death, no more sorrows. We'll be with our family members forever. So let's hold on to the unchanging hand of God and be assured that when Christ comes, he will save you and your family and he will make all things well at that time.
Brother Paul, I got another question along that line. Should these family members who have these crime perpetrated, should they seek revenge? Should they assist the police in carrying out the investigation? Or what should they do in terms of more practical things?
That's a good question, Brother Julian. In the era of, especially in the era of seeking revenge, you know, the Apostle Paul says, he reminds us that vengeance is God's own and he will repay when he returns. And there's nowhere in the Bible given a Christian the attitude to seek revenge, because if you do, that means you too will be lost at the end of time. And let's say you should seek revenge and take the young man or the young lady's life out who did your family some wrong or maybe did you some wrong. They can die because they might have repented for what they did to you and you might not have known. And they can die and go to heaven. And because you did something to them and you did not repent, you'd be lost at the end of time. When they get to heaven, they say, well, Lord, what happened? How come the person that killed me is not here? They say, well, they did not repent. They died in their sins. So let's leave it to God. He knows exactly what's going on. And yes, you know, if you want to help the police out, there's nothing wrong with you helping the police out, provided you're telling the police the truth. Because remember, those who bear false witness against their neighbors will be held accountable in the judgment. So you're going to give the policeman the information. You're not going to be pushing for the death penalty. You just want to, you know, let the law take its course. And if they should ask you, let's say they ask you a question, would you want us to push for the death penalty? Well, as a Christian, you would say no. I would not want you to push for the death penalty. But I like for the law to take its course. And, you know, while a young man or young lady in prison who did it to your family members, pay them a visit. There's ways you can get a pass out to pay them a visit. And who knows? You might be the one to help them to turn the heart over to Jesus Christ. And in the prison itself, they can turn the world upside down in the prison. And then young men leave and young women walk away from the prison. They might be the ones that come up from the prison and turn the world upside down as the Gospels go forth. Because remember, Jesus says in Matthew 24 that the Gospel must be preached to the whole world for witness, and then shall the end come.
But Paul, we read our Bibles, we study the Scriptures, we read all these books, we listen to ministers. What is the end? What is the capsule of all of this? What is the Bible really trying us to get to understand?
Well, Brother John, you know, Solomon is one of the wisest men that ever lived. And after Solomon, he wrote 12 chapters of Ecclesiastes. And coming down to the end of Ecclesiastes, he said, this is the whole conclusion of the matter. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Why? For he said, God told him that he would bring every wicked to judgment, for every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And that's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. Are the commandments being taught in our family lives and to our children at an early age? Are we allowing the Lord to use us to tell our children the importance of keeping God's whole Ten Commandments moral law, which is the character of God? You know, I'll put a challenge out today to our Ministry of Education once again, you know, being crying for this under the PLP government. Now we have the FNM government in charge of running the country to the best of their ability. I'd like to give them a challenge here to, you know, let's take the reading books out of the school for a while. Let's just put the Bible as a book for the kids to read for the next 6 months or a year or so. And let's see if the lives of the young children don't be transformed and the young people in the high school don't be transformed. Just 1 year, just only reading the Bible and giving them different things they need to write just in their studies of the Bible and different chapters of the Bible, Genesis and Revelation and Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Proverbs. Proverbs is a good book for the young kids to study at this time. And, you know, Solomon have a lot to say in the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes about how we should conduct ourselves, how we should be slow to speak and quick to listen to those sorts of stuff. That there's a way that seemeth right unto a man and to a woman, but then those ways are there. I'll put that challenge out there, and I'm sure you, within a year, I'm sure some of those young kids, if you think there's no hope for, the Bible is clear that God will not, his word will not return to him void. It's going to do two things. It's going to cut, and as it cut, it's going to heal. Now, if they reject the word of the Lord, then death will be their doom.
Brother Paul, what do you think the church has done to facilitate some of the problems that we see existing in this world today?
Well, Brother Julian, one of the things the church has done to facilitate this, Brother Julian, I don't think the church has been truthful to a lot of our Christians in Radio Line and even in our churches. You know, the Bible is quite clear that it's not going to get better. As a matter of fact, if you read in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, when Jesus stands up, referring to Michael in Daniel 12, there's going to be a time of trouble that was never was since there was a nation. In Revelation chapter 13, it talks about a time when the two beasts will join forces, and all those who don't receive the mark of the beast will be killed. Also, in the book of Revelation chapter 7, it talks about four angels holding the reins of strife. And the Bible says, and they are only holding them until God's people are sealed in their foreheads. So when you hear the church tell you that it's going to get better, I mean, there's no scripture for that. There's no scripture that can tell you that it's going to get better. But the good news is, according to Psalms 91, God's angel will put a protecting edge around us, like it was in the days of Job. When Satan wanted to deal with Job, Satan had to go and ask for permission from God first. And God said, okay, you can do whatever you want to do with Job, just don't take his life. Well, the same thing applies today, because the Apostle Paul told us that those things are written, aforetime was written for our learning, who the ends of the world are come. But we are in the end of time right now. Let no doubt about it. I don't care if someone tries to tell you otherwise. Things are not continued as they always were. You just watch TV 13 news and Cable 12 news just for 1 week, or CNN, or any of those other news networks out there, or just pick up the daily newspaper, and you will see, ladies and gentlemen, things are not continued. Ask our grandparents if they're still alive. How many people were killed during their lifetime? Or how many divorces were in their lifetime? It's not getting better. As a matter of fact, the divorce rate and the crime rate with the Christians is almost like that of the world. And it was ever time we needed to make sure that we are following the will of the Lord and listen to the voice of Jesus from his word. That time is definitely now. Jesus says it's best in John 17:17, sanctify my people through thy truth. His word is the truth. So whenever you hear someone trying to tell you that it's going to get better, or that just do X, Y, Z and it's going to get better, let them turn to your scripture. And there's no scripture that points sad to say that it's going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse. And we've been preaching this now going on 5 years. Next month is going to make 5 years since we've been here. And we've been telling you, ladies and gentlemen, based on the Bible account, it's going to get worse and it's going to get worse. But the good news is, once you are in God's hand, no man can take you out of his hand.
But what do we as individuals then must do to improve our, since things are going to get better, I know that we can improve ourselves. How are we to do that?
Remember, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, now therefore hearken, O Israel, O Bahamas, unto the statutes and unto judgments, which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I have commanded you, neither shall you diminish or take away from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2. So the Bible says, we should not add to the word of God, nor should we take away from the word of the Lord. And here again, the commandments come up again. Those 10 commandments listed in Exodus chapter 20. Those 10 commandments with the first John talk about, if you sin, you transgress the commandments of God. So the commandments keep coming up. Why do they keep coming up? Because the commandments are what point out sin, according to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said, where there's no sin, there's no transgression. So the commandments are very important. And better we get the strength, over and repeatedly we've been telling you, you must go to the powerhouse. That's Jesus Christ himself. That's why we accept him into our lives, ladies and gentlemen. We accept him into our lives so he can empower us to live out the Ten Commandments. So he can empower us to love the unlovable. He can empower us to turn our cheek from when someone is troubling us on the wrong side. Remember the Apostle Paul says, fathers, be within you. Try your best to live peaceably with all men. Some men are not peaceable, ladies and gentlemen, but that does not mean you must not love them. You must always show love. Love is the end result. And that's why 1 Corinthians 13 says, if you don't have love, it cancels out every other thing. And that's agape love, the unchanging love of God.
But Paul, you're talking about being destroyed at the end of time or when Jesus comes. Why does the Bible say we will be destroyed?
Well, Brother Julian, this is another good question. You know, a lot of people don't understand. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, Jesus says, he'll also, if the parents don't want to do right, he'll destroy the parents and the children. Let's read it. Hosea 4, 6. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It isn't because knowledge is not available, but God said to Hosea that they have rejected the knowledge. And then he said, I reject thee, that thou should be no priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I'll also forget thy children. It goes right back to the law once again, the Ten Commandments. God said, if you forget the law of God, if you turn away your ear from hearing the law of God, remember, even your prayer is an abomination. Just last week here again in the Guardian, they had a story where they had a prayer vigil in one of our communities where all the crime and violence had been taken about. But ladies and gentlemen, prayer comes with a condition. The Bible is quite clear that the righteous prayer of a man availeth much. So So if the man who or the woman who is praying, if they're not in right standing with God, that's all righteousness means. That means God is not hearing their prayer. That's not hard to understand. Even a baby can understand that. Once they can have the knowledge of like a 2, 3, or 4-year-old child. If you and I want to live contrary to the commandments of God, as much as God want to hear our prayers, he cannot. Because Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says, we are dealing with a God that cannot lie. And he has said in his word that once his word go forward, it would not return unto him void. So we can try to dally all around we want to. We can have as much privileges as we want, and there's nothing wrong with that. As long as we are going on the principles. The principle of the prayers, as a matter of fact, in the book of Proverbs, I think it is, the Bible says, if you and I regard iniquity in our heart, God will not hear us. And iniquity means you know that you're doing something that's wrong, and you continue to do it, and you continue to do it, and that turns to iniquity. And that iniquity is like rebellion and is witchcraft, according to 1 Samuel chapter 15.
Well, Paul, you were reading a survey the other day, a survey taken by the Tower of Truth Ministries in the United States of America, where they interviewed 7,441 Protestant ministers. And I want you to share, as I go through the questions, what the survey showed. One of the questions asked was, do you accept Jesus' physical resurrection as a fact? What did the ministers answer? Tell us how they answered.
Remember, Julian, the statistics didn't come up pretty good. As a matter of fact, 51 Methodist pastors, based on the question you asked, said no, they do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's 51% of the Methodist ministers. 51% of the Methodist United States ministers who were at this conclave, 7,441 of them, said no, they do not believe in the physical appearance of resurrection of Jesus Christ. 35% of the Episcopalian pastors said no, they do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. 33% of the American Baptist pastor says no, they don't believe. 30% of the Presbyterian pastors said no. And 13% of the American Lutheran pastors said no. They all said no, that they don't believe in the physical resurrection as a fact. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus Christ has not physically risen, if he didn't come and die according to the scriptures and right now sitting right here on the Father, then why are these pastors pastoring? If there's no Jesus, then that means there's no reason for us to have a church. We must just close church right now. And I wonder how many Bahamian ministers feel the same way, that they do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. They don't believe that is a fact. Well, ladies and gentlemen, without a shadow of a doubt, I believe that's a fact. Because the Bible is quite clear that Jesus will come, and he came right on time. History pens it out. And he rose on the third day, just like he said he would. And right now he's sitting right on the Father interceding for you and I. If God was just leave us alone just for a moment, where would we be? So let's pray for these ministers who felt this way, that they don't believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus being a fact. What a sad commentary to be said by these ministers today in the year 2007.
But Paul, another question asked of these ministers was, do you believe in the virgin birth of Jesus? What was the answer?
Reverend Julian, the Methodist ministers here, again, to show how balanced they were, 60%, the number jumped from, when it was 51% they didn't believe in the physical resurrection, but that 51 turned to 60% of the Methodist pastors said, no, they don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to figure out how they arrive at that. If 51% said they don't believe in the resurrection, and then 60% said they don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, right there you see there's something wrong here. Then the Presbyterian ministers went up a little bit higher when it came to this question. 49%, that's almost half of the Methodist ministers that were there, said they don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. 44% of the Episcopalian ministers said no, they do not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And 34% of the American Baptist pastors said no, they do not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And 19% of the American Lutheran pastors said no, they do not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Well, if that is the case, then they should not believe the Bible, because John the Baptist is quite clear. He said, behold the Lamb of God which should take away the sin of the world. I mean, something is wrong here, ladies and gentlemen. Something is wrong with these ministers that believe in this way. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is our guide. And if they don't believe what the Bible says, then why are they preaching? I mean, how come, you know, these ministers are still being pastors of churches? Ladies and gentlemen, just like Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, there'll be many false Christs and many false prophets showing great signs and wonders, if it's possible, they would even deceive the very elect.
But, Paul, the last question that we have here that they asked was, do you believe the scriptures are the inerrant word of God in faith, history, and secular matters?
Reverend Julian, 95% of the Episcopalian ministers said no. They do not believe the Bible to be the inerrant word of God for faith, history, and secular matters. 87% of the Methodist pastors said no. 77% of the American Lutheran pastors said no. and 67% of the American Baptist pastors said no. What a sad commentary that 95% of the Episcopalians don't believe the Scriptures to be an inerrant word of God. 87% believe the same thing of the Methodists. And 77% of the American Lutheran pastors also believe the same. And also 67% of the American Baptist pastors. So what do they believe, ladies and gentlemen? Are they preaching dollhouse stories and at their churches? Do they use the Bible? Or are they saying they cast away 95% of it, according to the Episcopalians, and just use the other 5%? Same thing with the Methodist pastors. Do they just use it 87% and throwing away 87% and just using the other 13%? Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is true. As a matter of fact, history does not dictate to the Bible. The Bible dictates to history. I'll give you one point of fact from the Bible. If you just read Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 7 says, "And he shall speak good words against the Most High. And he shall weld the saints of the Most High. And he should think to change times and laws, and it should be given his hand to time, and dividing of times." And that was one scripture there alone. If you just take the time and ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and knowledge and dissecting that scripture, that will give you so much information to digest in one sitting. It would just be mind-boggling. And the Holy Spirit will let you know that this is a fact. That's Daniel 7:25. I encourage you to pick it up and study it. But I just ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you through it. And I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that scripture will give you plenty of information. That Daniel 7:25, when the Bible says that he will speak great words against the Most High, that's already history. And the time, the right hand will work at 1,260 years, when that particular prophecy started at 538 and ended at 1798. That's the challenge for you today. If you need help with it, you can feel free to give us a call, and I can give you some more information to help you understand exactly what it is you're reading there in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25.
Don't forget the live call-in show, Turning Point Present, July 16th. From 8 p.m. to 2 p.m. from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on the same station. Tell your families in prayer. Friends, let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, God, for the opportunity and the privilege to come and bow before your throne this afternoon. Oh Lord, we come asking first for the forgiveness of our sins and cleanse our hearts from our iniquities, O Lord. Cleanse us, O Lord, and make us clear and clean. Lord, now give us the power and the strength to read your word and understand your word, that we may not only know but do. Give us the power to do the right thing in all situations we pray. Is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, our telephone contact is 322-6273. Our website is www.tpministries.org. Until next week, may the peace of God continue to be with you and your family. This is Paul.
And this is Julian Miller. May God richly bless you.